Coffee Break Italian, Season 3, Episode 1. Buongiorno a tutti e benvenuti, bentornati a Coffee Break Italian. Io sono Mark.
Salve a tutti, io sono Francesca.
Come stai, Francesca?
Mark, sto benissimo, sono così felice oggi di essere finalmente tornata con voi.
Anch'io molto contento di essere qua nello studio ancora una volta per registrare un episodio di Coffee Break Italian. And this is season 3. We are delighted to be back with season 3 because we're taking things a little further this time. Non è vero, Francesca?
Sì, è vero, Mark. Finalmente abbiamo l'opportunità di esplorare quella grammatica un pochino più complessa, diciamo.
Un pochino più complessa. A little bit more complex, because that's exactly what we're doing. We're trying to take what we've learned in seasons 1 and 2 and take it a little further and help you, our listeners, to sound more Italian, basically. That's the main purpose of what we're doing. Now, Francesca, can you explain how we're going to structure our episodes of season 3?
Certo, Mark. So in each episode, we will be covering a different grammar point, a new grammar point, and including, obviously, new vocabulary and idiomatic expressions as well. And after explaining the grammar point, we will see the grammar in practice with a dialogue, with a real conversation in Italian.
And you'll be listening to quite a number of different Italian voices for our dialogues. We've got some guests to join us in the studio, and you'll be hearing different accents from different parts of Italy. And that way you'll be getting more used to hearing more Italian. Allora, Francesca, sei pronta?
Sì, Mark, bando alle ciance, dai!
Bando alle ciance?
Sì, bando alle ciance è una bella espressione italiana, significa enough talk or let's cut the talks.
Ah, ok. So what are le ciance?
Le ciance is a word I think mainly used in Tuscany, and it's kind of useless chit-chatting. So there is this idiomatic expression, bando alle ciance.
Okay, so let's get started then. Bando alle ciance.
Sì, diamo inizio alle danze.
Let's begin the dancing. Here goes. Allora, Francesca, qual è il primo tema grammaticale della stagione 3?
Sì, Mark, il primo tema è, diciamo, qualcosa di relativamente facile, qualcosa di cui abbiamo già parlato nella stagione precedente, Coffee Break Italian Season 2, e un po' anche nel magazine.
È vero, in passato abbiamo usato strutture grammaticali un po' complesse che forse non abbiamo approfondito per non complicare le idee. Adesso però non ci sono più scuse, there are no more excuses,
sì.
Avremo l'opportunità di scoprire tutti i segreti della grammatica italiana, o quasi.
Sì, non ci saranno più segreti, Mark.
Allora, Francesca, di cosa parliamo oggi?
Ok, Mark, oggi parliamo dei pronomi diretti.
Direct object pronouns. Now, don't worry when you hear words like these. We're going to be using quite a number of grammatical terms in Coffee Break Italian Season 3, because ultimately at this stage we do need to get into this grammar. We do need to get a little deeper into the grammar in order to be able to understand and then reuse this language. Sometimes when we're looking at grammatical terms, they might seem a little bit scary, but behind them there are always easily graspable grammar concepts. It's good, however, to have the labels so that we know what we are talking about. Francesca, will we explain a little about the direct object pronoun?
Okay, Mark, let's try and keep it simple. So first of all, what is a pronoun?
Okay, so a pronoun is something that's, in a sense, standing for a noun. It replaces a noun. And very often we've already mentioned that noun.
Esatto, sì. And you also have pronouns in English, so it's not something that relates to Italian only. But let's focus on the idea of direct object. So we said we are going to talk about direct object pronouns, but what is a direct object?
Well, the direct object is the thing or the person that comes directly after the verb. Now, in this case, we call our verbs transitive verbs.
Si.
So a transitive verb is where we've got a direct object straight after it. I'm thinking, for example, I read a book.
Esatto. Leggo un libro.
A book or un libro there is the direct object. So there's no preposition between the verb and the grammatical object in that sense. Leggo un libro, I read a book.
Esatto. And the object obviously can also be a person, so it's not just an object as such, but we can also say io incontro Giovanni, and Giovanni is our grammatical object, yeah. But obviously Giovanni is a person and not
we're not
an object.
Being rude about Giovanni and calling him an object. Okay, so what about direct object pronouns then?
So, yes, once we have identified the object of our sentence, for example, I read a book, if we keep talking about that book, il libro, we can avoid the repetition of that word by using a pronoun, that is, a pronoun, that is, a word which replaces it to avoid a boring repetition.
Exactly. So if we were to say, I read a book, the book is interesting. I bought the book at the shop and the book has been the best book I have ever read. We get a bit bored with saying the book all the time. So it's better to be able to say it in English to replace the book each time we mention it afterwards.
Esatto. And in Italian, there are obviously other words. In this case, it would be lo. Io lo leggo. I read it. And we need to learn a set of new direct object pronouns to replace all the possible direct objects we have in Italian, which are obviously characterized by gender and number, as it is always the case in Italian.
And the good thing is that these are pretty much what you would expect in many cases, because you're familiar with certain patterns that we've already encountered in Italian. So let's think about, we've mentioned the book there, il libro would be replaced by lo, lo leggo. And note that it comes before the verb, but we'll talk a little more about that later. So what if we were talking about, the house, la casa?
In that case, it would be la. For example, compro la casa, la compro oggi.
Okay, so I'm buying the house, I'm buying it today, la compro oggi. Perfetto. Okay, what if we were talking about more than one book? So the books, I libri, would become?
Li.
So give us an example.
Compro I libri, li compro in libreria.
So I'm buying the books, I'm buying them in the bookshop, in libreria.
Esatto, Mark.
And perhaps if you've got lots of money and you are buying the houses, then what would be the object pronoun that we need there?
Then we would use le. Compro le case, le compro oggi.
Okay, so we've got lo, la, li and le for the masculine singular, the feminine singular, the masculine plural and the feminine plural. Tutto bene.
Tutto bene. And we should also add then that lo and la are not just the translation for it, masculine and feminine, but they also work as him and her in English.
Okay. All good so far. Hopefully everyone is following this. Can we look at a few examples, please?
Okay. Ad esempio, Mark, if I'm asking you, conosci Alberto?
Sì, lo conosco. So I know him. Do you know Alberto? Sì, lo conosco. Lo is replacing Alberto. I could say sì, conosco Alberto, but it's a little bit repetitive to repeat Alberto again.
Perfetto, esatto. And if I'm asking you, Mark, compri la pasta?
No, non la compro.
Mm, una risposta negativa, negative answer. What are we doing in this case then?
Well, we're using the la. Still, it comes before the verb. La replaces la pasta, but we're also adding in non before. So no, that first means no, and then non la compro, I am not buying it.
And it's very important to recognize this fixed structure where we have non, the direct object pronoun, and the verb. So this is an important word order that we have to recognize and implement when we are using direct object pronouns.
So for example, I could say, if you had asked me, conosci Alberto, I could have said, no, non lo conosco, I don't know him.
Giusto.
What about this example? Francesca, guardi i film francesi?
Sì, li guardo qualche volta.
Okay, so yes, I watch them sometimes, from time to time. Li guardo qualche volta. Li referring to i film francesi.
Perfetto.
And if you never watched the films?
No, non li guardo mai.
So we've got non li guardo mai. Not them I watch ever, literally. I never watch them. Let's do one more example with le.
Okay, Mark, bevi le bibite gassate?
Sì, le bevo in estate.
And give me a negative answer as well.
Okay, no, non le bevo quasi mai.
Bravissimo, no, non le bevo quasi mai, perfetto.
In each case we've got that le coming before the verb. Now, one thing, Francesca, there's something different that happens to lo and la when they come before a vowel.
With lo and la, when they're followed by a vowel, we have the option to drop o in lo and a in la to make the sound flow better in a way, to avoid the clash of two vowels. So, for example, if I say ami il cane,
I could say sì, l'amo molto.
Esatto. So we could say sì, lo amo molto, but to avoid a vowel clash between lo and a in amo, the verb, we can drop the o and just say l'amo with the apostrophe and run the two words together, l'amo, which sounds like one bigger word phonetically.
Indeed. And I think it's so often the case that when we are thinking about things in Italian, so much is done to make it sound as beautiful as it sounds. So
we're trying.
We can run things together like that. That all makes sense. So Francesca, we've spoken about him and her and it, direct object pronouns. What about the direct object pronouns for me and you and us and so on?
Of course, we shouldn't forget about the other persons. It's important. So the Italian for me is also me, but it's spelled differently.
Yeah, so me is me in Italian. However, we're looking at me in English, M-E, and then in Italian we're looking at M-I, as we would expect.
Esatto. So watch your spelling if you're writing this. You, singular, so for one person, informal, is a T.
T.
Then we have us, ci.
Ci.
And the you, plural, the you, all, which is V.
V. Okay, now it's important to point out that what we're focusing on here are direct object pronouns. That's when we translate the me and the you and the him and the her and so on in English into Italian. And there are different words for what we call indirect object pronouns, and we'll come to those in a future lesson. But for now, we're focusing really on these direct object pronouns. And I think what would help here are some examples.
Sì, again, I'll ask you some questions, Mark, and I would like you to answer the questions using a direct object pronoun in Italian.
Va bene.
Ok. Allora, if I'm asking you, Mark, mi inviti alla tua festa?
Certo, Francesca, ti invito con piacere.
Grazie.
So, ti invito con piacere. So, Francesca's asked me, mi inviti alla tua festa? Are you inviting me to your party? And I said, ti invito con piacere. I am inviting you with pleasure.
And if I'm asking you, Mark, Mark, tua madre ti chiama spesso?
Sì, mi chiama ogni sera. So she calls me every evening. Tua madre
per Italian.
Tua madre ti chiama spesso. Does your mother call you often? Sì, mi chiama ogni sera. Ciao, signora Gloria.
Ciao, signora Gloria. E poi, Mark, un'altra domanda. And imagine I'm asking you this question on behalf of myself, but also other people as well.
Okay.
And I'm asking you, Mark, ci porti al cinema?
Right, so there that ci. Be careful with ci because it can mean a number of things. And we've seen ci before in other situations. But here we're talking about it as us. Ci porti al cinema? Can you take us, or will you take us, or are you taking us to the cinema?
Si.
Ci porti al cinema? So I can respond, sì, vi porto con piacere. I will happily take you all to the cinema.
Uh-huh, and this is important because we are seeing that the English you can be translated in different ways, and we have to recognize from the context, the situation, if it is a you singular or a you plural, as it is the case here. So we need to use vi, meaning you all.
Yeah.
Okay, one more question, Mark.
Dimmi.
Mark, gli ascoltatori ci seguono con interesse?
Certo, secondo me gli ascoltatori ci seguono con grande interesse.
Speriamo.
So are listeners following us with interest? And I'm saying, according to me, secondo me, gli ascoltatori ci seguono con grande interesse. They are following us with great interest. Okay, now this is a lot of information so far. And there are a couple of other things that we do need to mention before we get on to our conversation. But we're going to break here and we'll be back in just a moment with those additional pieces of information and then our conversation. So, a fra poco! Welcome back. Today we're talking about direct object pronouns. Francesca, we've so far spoken about me, you, him, her, it, us, you all,
si.
And them.
Si.
But there's one bit that's missing. What about the formal side of things?
Oh, that's a good question, Mark. The formal, as it is always the case in Italian, is, let's say, borrowed from the third person singular feminine. So in this case, we have to think of the word we are using in the feminine singular for direct object pronouns, and we can use it also for the formal. So the word is la, as in compri la casa, si la compro oggi, or vedi Maria, si la vedo più tardi. And we're using the same la, but with a different function in the formal way of speaking when using direct object pronouns.
Okay, so it's similar to what we do with lei. If we're talking about you in a formal way, we would just say lei, lei, cosa vuole? What would you like in that formal way? And something else happens with that lei when we're using it formally. Very often we make it a capital L. We put a capital L in there. Do we do the same with la?
Yes, it's not compulsory, but especially for learning purposes, it's good to see the capital L so you can immediately tell it's the formal direct object pronoun and not the feminine.
Okay, give us some examples, Francesca.
For example, if I'm talking to Professoressa Rossi on mm-hmm. the phone, I can tell her, Professoressa Rossi, la richiamo domani.
Okay, so la richiamo domani. I will call you tomorrow. Literally, this is a present tense, so I am calling you tomorrow. But the la there, if we were seeing this written down, then the la would have a capital L. La richiamo domani. Okay, what about another example?
Yes, the important thing is that we're using the same direct object pronoun if we are addressing a man in a formal way. So don't get confused. I know it probably sounds a little bit odd, but it's the same thing that we do when we're using lei to address a man. So if I'm talking to Signor Ubaldi, for example, okay, a man, I can tell Signor Ubaldi, la aspetto agli arrivi.
Right, so Signor Ubaldi, la aspetto agli arrivi, I am waiting for you in arrivals. Imagine you're picking Signor Ubaldi up at the airport, and you can say la, capital L again in a written form, la aspetto agli arrivi. Right, so we've got la for you, formal, but we've also got T for you, singular, informal, and we've got V for you, plural, informal. It's quite tricky to remember which one to use.
Sì, esatto, Mark. Because in English you only have a you, which includes these three possible persons. So it's really, really important that you understand the context, the scenario really well in order to choose the best option to translate the English you into Italian.
Perfetto. So just be very careful. We've got, for example, if you're picking me up at the airport, what would you say?
I would say, Mark, ti aspetto agli arrivi.
Okay. And if I was coming to Italy to visit you and la Signora Gloria was coming too, what would you say?
Oh, that would be so lovely. I would say, Mark, vi aspetto agli arrivi.
So the plural informal version. And of course, if it's the famous Signor Ubaldi, then we would say la aspetto agli arrivi.
Esatto.
Formal version. Okay, there's one final thing I think we need to think about, and that is the whole idea of where this direct object pronoun goes. We've said already that it goes in front of a verb. However, there's another scenario, Francesca, isn't there?
Yes, we have an alternative at times when we are using modal verbs. So verbs like volere, dovere, and potere.
Okay, let's look at some examples to see what exactly happens here.
Okay, these verbs, as our listeners probably know, are always followed by an infinitive. Mm-hmm. And in this case, we have the option of using the direct object pronoun either before the verb or at the very end, attached to the infinitive. And I'll give you an example, as always, to clarify things. So, if I'm asking you, Mark, vuoi comprare i pantaloni?
I could say, sì, li voglio comprare.
Esatto.
So, them I want to buy. Or, I've got another possibility. What would that possibility be, Francesca?
The other option is voglio comprar li. So dropping the final E or English E of the infinitive comprare and attaching the direct object pronoun to the infinitive, forming one sole word, comprar li in this case.
So voglio comprar li, and the li is stuck to the end of the infinitive, replacing that final E. And one thing to mention is if you, for example, wanted to see Signor Ubaldi, and you could say voglio vederla to him, I want to see you, then that capital L stays there in the middle of the word, vederla.
Sì. Again,
like
it's
one.
Not compulsory, but you can find it quite often.
So it's not a typo if you've seen a capital L in the middle of a word, or at the end of an infinitive at least, with la at the end.
Now, that's right.
There's one thing that comes to mind here, Francesca, and that is if any of our listeners have also learned French. I know that not everyone would be in this situation, but some of you may have learned French, and there is a difference here, isn't there?
See, I have noticed over the years that if students already speak French, they tend to follow the French structure for direct object pronouns, which means placing the direct object pronoun between the modal verb and the infinitive, which is unfortunately not possible in Italian.
So we're not even going to say the words in Italian because that will confuse you. So, but if you are a French learner, then just be aware that there is a difference with French and Italian here. Okay, right. So if the infinitive isn't triggered by a modal verb, then what happens?
Yes, if you still find an infinitive and you have a direct object pronoun, so you can still stick the direct object pronoun to the end and form, again, as I said, the one sole word with the infinitive. For example, if I'm to say, Mark, leggi I giornali italiani? And you want to answer this question by using, for example, the verb mi piace.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to say, I like to read them in Italy.
Yep.
What would you say?
In that case, I would say, sì, mi piace leggerli in Italia. So leggerli.
Bravissimo.
The li is sticking onto the end of leggere. But we can't put it anywhere else. Again, I don't want to say the wrong versions, but we can't put it anywhere else in that sentence.
Esatto.
What if I said to you, Francesca, perché non metti il tuo orologio nuovo?
Okay, so you want me to use an infinitive,
yeah.
I suppose, in my answer. Let me think. I could say, perché ho paura di perderlo.
Right, so why are you not wearing your new watch? And you've said, because I'm scared to lose it. I'm scared that I lose it. Ho paura di perderlo. So perdere, to lose, and lo, referring to the thing we've already mentioned, il tuo orologio, and it sticks on to the end of the infinitive.
Esatto.
Well, this is pretty much everything you need to know about direct object pronouns, wouldn't you agree?
Sì, it's quite a lot to take in for episode one.
What we're going to do now is have a little dialogue in which you're going to hear lots of examples of these direct object pronouns. Now, this is a dialogue between a student of Italian called John,
sì.
And John is in Siena for a summer course, and he's talking to his teacher. So for this episode, I'll take the role of John, and Francesca, can you take the role of the teacher?
I'll try my best.
So let's have a listen to our dialogue.
Ciao, allora tu sei John e sei qui a Siena per fare un corso di italiano, giusto?
Esatto.
Ma perché vuoi seguire questo corso?
Perché adoro l'italiano e vorrei parlarlo meglio.
Buona idea. Da quanto tempo lo studi?
Lo studio da molti anni ormai. Parlavo italiano da piccolo in famiglia e poi ho continuato a studiarlo all'università.
Quale università hai frequentato?
L'Università di Glasgow.
Ma dai, non ci credo. Che coincidenza.
Perché? La conosci?
Sì, la conosco benissimo. Vivevo a Glasgow quando ero giovane.
Allora capisci l'accento scozzese?
Sì, lo capisco abbastanza bene. È un accento così simpatico. Ma dimmi, sono curiosa, vendono ancora le patatine fritte nei negozietti in città?
Ovviamente, le vendono ovunque. Noi scozzesi le adoriamo.
Lo so, anch'io le adoro e le mangiavo sempre con i miei amici di Glasgow.
Ah, li senti ancora?
Sì, li sento di solito per Natale e spero di rivederli ad agosto, perché voglio andare al Festival di Edimburgo.
Ah, ma io abito ad Edimburgo. Se vuoi posso venire a prenderti all'aeroporto e portarti in hotel.
Che gentile, ma vengo con due amiche.
Non è un problema. Ho una macchina grande e sarà un piacere accompagnarvi tutte e tre in hotel.
Non ho parole, grazie. Senti, posso offrirti un caffè?
No, grazie. Non lo bevo mai perché è troppo forte per me.
Allora andiamo a mangiare qualcosa più tardi. Ti piace la pizza?
Sì, la adoro.
Mio marito viene a prendermi qui alle 7. Puoi venire con noi oppure ti aspettiamo in pizzeria.
Se per voi va bene, vi aspetto in pizzeria.
Benissimo, ci vediamo alla pizzeria da Michele in via Garibaldi.
Benissimo, ok. That was our conversation. Now, we are not going to go through it in detail in this episode, but we will be doing this in our bonus episode. And we'll tell you a little more about that at the end of this podcast. However, Francesca, can you explain a little about what we have heard? Give us a summary, if you like, of the conversation.
Okay, so John is a Scottish student of Italian who is in Siena to improve his language skills.
Mm-hmm.
And he's having a conversation with his Italian teacher, who turns out to have lived in Glasgow in the past. It sounds familiar.
Yeah, it does a little bit, yeah.
And they talk about the city, the Scottish accent, her Scottish friends, with whom she's still in touch.
Mm-hmm.
And she also asked John if they are still selling the chips she so much liked.
The patatine.
Patatine,
si. So chips or fries, I guess, if our American listeners are listening. Okay.
And the teacher also says that she's planning to go to the famous Edinburgh Festival in the summer, mm-hmm, with two friends. And John, who happens to be living in Edinburgh, has a big car, and he offers to pick the teacher and the two friends up at the airport and take them to the hotel.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so the teacher obviously would like to thank John, and she invites him for a coffee. But unfortunately, he doesn't like it because it's too strong.
Okay.
So she suggests that he joins her and her husband for a pizza in the evening. And John agrees, and they will meet in the pizzeria da Michele later on in the evening.
Okay, so that is a summary of the conversation. And as I said, we'll be going through this in greater detail in our bonus episode. And that is almost it for this episode.
Sì, forse c'è ancora una cosina, Mark.
Okay, cos'è ancora una cosina?
I've decided for this new series just to add an extra something to sound more Italian, something similar to la ciliegina sulla torta that we're doing in the magazine.
Perfetto. Okay, so what do you have for us today?
Well, for today, because I'm really excited to be back and recording season 3, I've chosen an idiomatic expression which you can use when you're really, really happy.
Okay, and that would be?
Felice come una Pasqua.
Right, so you're as happy as an Easter?
Sì, sì. Sono felice come una Pasqua.
Perfetto. I think in English we can say to be as happy as Larry.
Sì, sì, esatto. Un po' strano anche questo.
I've always wondered who Larry is, but perhaps Larry likes Easter, to celebrate Easter as well.
Who knows?
So, sono felice come una Pasqua. And each episode of Coffee Break Italian will include ancora una cosina, and
si,
that way you'll be able to pick up some more expressions that will help you sound that bit more Italian. Allora, Francesca, adesso è tutto per oggi, non è vero?
Sì, direi di sì, abbiamo finito per oggi.
Make sure you listen to this episode more than once if you have to.
Sì, lo dovete ascoltare con molta attenzione.
Lo dovete ascoltare. So we're talking about episodio, un episodio. So it's a masculine noun, and therefore you say lo dovete ascoltare, and we've got a modal verb in there as well. Fantastic.
Sì.
Cosa possiamo fare per consolidare questa regola grammaticale, Francesca?
Beh, direi che semplicemente i nostri ascoltatori la devono utilizzare il più possibile quando parlano e quando scrivono. Ma non dimenticate anche le parole nuove, ovviamente, che avete imparato oggi.
Sì, certo.
E Mark, che cosa possono fare gli ascoltatori per memorizzare tutte queste parole nuove?
Direi che le devono ripetere ad alta voce, o anche scriverle nel loro WeJotter, forse.
Wow! I'm really proud of you, Mark. I think I've heard the two direct object pronouns there. Le devono ripetere e devono scriverle. Bravissimo, Mark.
Perfetto. Okay, that really is it for this episode. We are delighted to be back with season 3 of Coffee Break Italian, and we hope that you are as excited as we are to be listening to this new content. For now, grazie molte e arrivederci.
Grazie a tutti, a presto, ciao.
You have been listening to a Coffee Break Languages production for the Radiolingua Network. Copyright 2021 Radiolingua Limited. Recording copyright 2021
Radiolingua Limited. All rights reserved.